Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm at Monte Cassino in Johannesburg today to chat to Matthew Talbot. Now, Matthew is CEO of BBM. You may know that as BlackBerry Messenger. I think a common perception is that BBM pretty much followed the fortunes of BlackBerry's phone business over the years. But BBM is still quite big, especially in certain emerging markets. I'm sure Matthew's going to take us through just how well they're doing in those markets. But Matthew, welcome to Tech Central. Thanks for chatting to us today. Tell us a bit about BBM. I think a lot of consumers, particularly in the South African context, always associated BBM with BlackBerry devices. But that's not true. A couple of years ago, the company actually broadened the BBM platform and made it available on other operating systems, including Android and iOS. How has the platform done over those last few years?
Yeah, thanks, Duncan. It's great to be here. One thing that should be clear now is actually BBM is actually run and operated by a company called Creative Media Works, which has the global license. So we are separated from BlackBerry today. And the main reason for that is because BBM is a consumer play and BlackBerry has an enterprise focus. What we have obviously done, especially over the last 12 to 18 months, has really started to evolve BBM from originally just a messaging app, obviously, with voice and video and groups and so forth, to actually a full-fledged ecosystem. And if you look at it, the majority of people have actually an average of 3.4 messaging apps on their phone. And you talk to different groups depending on where those groups and colleagues reside. So we believe in the fact of multiple messaging apps. And our point of difference of what we're doing is actually creating more content and services around chat. Chat is still the killer app, but we believe, obviously, other areas that people are interested in, like news, like games, like music, etc., we are partnering with best-of-breed content providers to ensure that our users have those services within BBM. And our goal is to take the average user from spending 30, 31, 35 minutes a day to 40, 45, 50, and really owning that ecosystem. And especially in a market like South Africa and many markets in the world where there's limitations on memory on handsets, on issues, on downloads, etc., we believe that more and more the key apps, like messaging apps, are going to be the survivors of the ecosystem.
Okay. Just take us a bit back, though, in terms of where BBM's come from. Historically, it's been an app that runs only on BlackBerry handsets. And at one point in South Africa, it was absolutely massive. You know, the operators would offer a fixed monthly fee where there was an all-you-can-eat amount of data on the BlackBerry Internet Service platform. And millions and millions and millions of South Africans were hooked on BBM. The operators then moved away from offering those flat rate BIS offerings. We all know what happened with BlackBerry on the consumer side of things with its devices. Where did that leave BBM? You've now spun off. You're now part of an Indonesian company. What has that meant for your market share over those years? Has it declined with the fortunes of the BlackBerry devices, or have you managed to keep a loyal set of customers that perhaps have migrated across to new platforms?
Look, to be honest, if BlackBerry had have migrated BBM to Android and iPhone a lot earlier, there probably wouldn't have been some of these other messaging competitors out there today. But they did eventually obviously migrate it, and actually 90% of our user base today is Android. So we've continued to obviously grow with the explosion of Android handsets, basically. We've got obviously iOS users as well, and we still have some BlackBerry users out there. But our focus and Creative Media Works focus is actually on Android and iOS.
Okay. So what type of... Just give me a profile of your users. I know you're quite strong in certain emerging markets. Indonesia, is that your biggest market currently?
Look, Indonesia is our biggest market. We dominate that market. We are number one. We have over 60 million monthly active users.
Wow.
So we're bigger than Facebook, we're bigger than WhatsApp in that marketplace. And it is a unique sort of country for us. Our other key markets around the world are places like South Africa, Nigeria, Middle East, and obviously still Canada, for example, and the US. You know, Africa has always been a very important market for us, and you talked about the legacy of the BlackBerry handset. Amazingly now, we're still hearing from people who think in this market that BBM is just BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are continuing to try and educate, and that's one of the reasons that, for example, we've taken out this sponsorship with Stage 360, which is this music contest here, to try and actually get the message across about the fact that we are very much Android and iOS.
Mm. I want to talk a bit about more about those content initiatives and specifically Stage 360 a little bit later in this in this podcast, but I'm always interested in how messaging platforms become dominant in particular markets. In the South African context, it was Mixit that was it was a homegrown solution that was hugely popular. I think it was popular in Indonesia as well at one point. And then BBM took over, and BBM really became dominant in this market, and now that seems to have shifted across to WhatsApp, particularly in the South African context. But what, for example, in Indonesia causes that loyalty to that particular platform? Is it purely a legacy issue that there's so many users on the base that people just stick with it, or is there something else at play? What determines what messaging platform becomes popular in a particular market?
Well, I think the first thing to recognize here is that the average consumer has 3.4 messaging apps on their phone.
Right, right.
And I say that, and actually every conference I get up, the first thing I actually ask is people to stand up, and I go through the fact of if you have one messaging app on your phone, sit down. If you have two, sit down. If you have three, etc. And 98% of the people are still standing. Okay, so it gives you an idea of the fact that there is room for more than one messaging app, and you speak to your different groups. As I said, you might speak to your work colleagues on one app, you may speak to your friends on another, your family on another. And I think that's important to outline from the beginning. I think the other important point is if you look at our biggest competitor, obviously here in South Africa, it's obviously WhatsApp. And WhatsApp globally is the biggest messaging app, but it is only a messaging app.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is the big point of difference. We are more competing today with people like the WeChats of this world, the Lines, who are very successful in Japan and Thailand, KakaoTalk, which is very successful in Korea. So you do have, like you said, dominant messaging players in certain markets that have actually built ecosystems. Okay, so it's not just a pure messaging app. So we are very confident that our strategy is correct and that we are focused on, we know the most time spent on an app is in a messaging app, but then if you look at 2, 3, 4, and 5, it's things like news, it's things like games, it's things like music, etc. And so there we are partnering with best of breed partners to make sure that within BBM, okay, you can actually do those things as well. And that's key because you don't want to hop out into another app. You don't want to go onto the web and look for a service. You're already in a messaging app. You're already sharing your most personal attributes and discussions inside messaging. So why not allow you to do these other things? And it's not just content. We're also very heavy on services as well. So, for example, we'll be shortly launching the Uber app. Well, actually, it's actually a bot.
Mm-hmm.
So in relation to that, gives you a great example of what's happening with the ecosystem, where you've got services now not being built as separate apps, but as bots that can be integrated into messaging apps. Okay, once again, to simplify it for the user. Okay, to not force you to download a second app. Back to your question about Indonesia, I think, why has it been so successful in Indonesia? I just think we had such a coverage there compared to any other market. We dominated from day one. On both, actually, historically, on handsets as well. And they were very quick to shift, obviously, onto the Android device as well. There's not a handset that's not launched in Indonesia today that you don't have BBM pre-installed or it's not promoted on a billboard. We've probably lost that in some other markets, although we're now working very actively with the carriers, and you talked about the bundle deals. We're working with carriers and handset manufacturers, especially in markets like Africa, where there are a lot of low-end handsets being distributed, where they're actually coming back to us now and asking for, obviously, versions of BBM that can support those handsets.
Can you recover that market share, though, once you've lost it? Once you're no longer the leader in that messaging platform and another player comes in and takes that space, as has happened in South Africa, can you win it back?
I think, as I said before, Duncan, we actually, because people will always have multiple messaging apps, we don't have to be number one in every market.
Okay.
We can be number two here, or number three even, and still be very successful. Okay, and that's the way I look at it, because I don't look at us competing with WhatsApp. I look at us competing to some of those other sort of competitors that we talked about before. Mm. And yes, I think from a branding perspective, obviously, especially here in South Africa, BBM and even BlackBerry traditionally has a very strong brand in this marketplace.
Yes.
And I think as we've started to evolve the application and introducing all these services and actually promotion and so forth, like what we're talking about here with Stage 360, which previously there was no promotion around BBM in this marketplace. Now you're starting to see it. People know we are alive. We're very much alive. It is a new BBM, okay, and it's more than just a messaging app. And I think that's resonating well with the consumer and also the brands. And I think this is a great example of it.
Mm. What is your target market with BBM?
Look, it's actually quite broad, which is historically very different from some of the other messaging apps. Some are very much targeted at the younger demographic. But ours, if you look at the demographics across the board and the segments, because of historically the BlackBerry handset, mm-hmm. and you talked about it before, that it was a low sort of bundle.
Yes.
You obviously had a lot of the lower socioeconomic classes on it as well, but you then had all the bankers that were using BlackBerry devices. So we actually go across a very broad base. It's pretty even between male and female. And we've continued to obviously, as I said, be very even across the base.
Mm. So Matthew, this is expanding well beyond just a messaging app. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the services, the content initiatives that you're involved in, particularly here in the South African market.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I talked about before, we've obviously evolved over time, and it was, as I said, it was chat, it was video chat, it was groups. We launched stickers, we launched channels, and channels was sort of an opportunity for brands and consumers to put up information and services for people. And from that and from the engagement, obviously now we've launched what we call Discover. And Discover is basically that, come in and discover new content and services. And we started with things like global news. And news is specific, obviously, locally as well, where it actually starts to learn from what you're interested in and serve you news. We then launched also things like Discover TV, which is the ability to obviously go on and watch videos and shows and so forth. We've launched Football Results, which is under Football 365. So you can go in, obviously football's a very popular sport here in South Africa, and a lot of the international leagues are followed. So you can go on, see scores, see what's happening with your best players. We've launched games on the Android platform, and iOS will come shortly as well. So games is probably the second highest actually time spent in mobile, next to chat, and then obviously news is after that. So we've launched games, we've launched HTML games, so they're light games that allow people to come on and play each other and share. And we've launched rewards, I mean incentives basically, so the ability for people to fill in surveys and then cut the costs of their data packages and so forth. And there'll be more and more coming every week now of what we launch here.
Okay. So you're in South Africa to launch a new music discovery service called Stage 360, is that right?
Correct.
Tell us a bit about that.
So Stage 360 is something that we've built with a number of partners, and it's a service that is all about promoting urban music and discovery of music. So its ability for consumers to come in, and you know, you may be a solo singer, you may be a band, etc. You can upload your video, obviously, onto BBM in Discover, into Stage 360, and basically be discovered. It's your opportunity to actually put your music out there for fans, and also, obviously, you know, record labels and everyone else can come in and actually basically see you. And the whole plan is it's an ongoing service. It's not a one-off. It's not like voice or some of these other services which are, you know, come and go. This is something that people can continue to use. And every quarter, we basically select the final six, obviously, people And they're selected by judges. And then the consumers can vote on them as well, but then the final call is on the judges. And from that, one gets selected and basically has a video, music video, and an album, and gets put on Trace TV. So it's a fantastic opportunity for actually consumers out there to actually benefit and actually promote their music and be discovered.
Okay. So are you working with record labels to do that, or are you working directly with individual artists?
So we're working... So basically Stage 360 is a group that's been built between a number of players. Trace TV is one of them, and Segler is the other. So it's a it is a bit of a joint venture in relation to that.
Okay. And how will you how are you planning to take this to market? Are you going to be having events? How's it going to work?
So there are events. There are events, and that's one of the opportunities for obviously the consumers is actually the more times they vote or like a song. They actually get chances to go to the show. In addition to that, we're doing radio, there's a TV ad that's actually launched now. So we're basically using traditional media and also obviously our platform. You know, remembering the fact that, you know, we are a strong social media platform. We actually use our own ad inventory to promote services, and we've got consumers coming in every day. So we can actually send them out a message and ask them to join Stage 360 and come and discover, you know, local artists.
Okay. You mentioned games being very popular on the platform, and obviously this has been a huge growth area for Tencent, which owns WeChat and QQ in China. Obviously, WeChat is expanding into African markets as well. But games has been absolutely massive for Tencent.
Yep.
Do you develop your own games? Do you get in third-party games onto the platform? How does it work?
Yep. No, we get in third-party games. So we've got a number of vendors that we work with today that are basically building games for our platform. That's not to say at some stage we may go and develop our own games, but we're looking at best-of-breed partners. So we work with people in Germany, in Europe, we work with people in Asia and across the world to actually bring content into BBM. And I think obviously there's two types of games. There's downloadable games and there's HTML games.
Mm.
So, you know, we think depending on the markets, one might be more relevant to the other. The most important thing is the sharing aspect. So the ability for me to be able to play a game and share with you obviously my points or invite you to play, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a sharing context, which is important there. And, you know, similar to the success that we've seen in Tencent and others, we believe it's a very interesting market for us.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually interested in how these messaging apps are putting more and more services into the app. I mean, e-commerce is one. Maybe you can talk a bit about what you're doing in the e-commerce space. But it almost seems as though messaging is becoming like an OS in its own right. It's almost, you want to encourage people not so much to use their phone, but to go into the app, and the app then provides all the bouquet of services that they would need.
It's actually more than an OS, because you are not relying on a specific operating system or a device or a carrier. So it's a very interesting situation, and I think we've seen around the world, obviously in countries, and you talk about WeChat in China and Line in Japan and KakaoTalk in Korea have proven that already. So look, we're very excited about the opportunity of what we've seen to date, and we're a strong believer that the ecosystems will be created around messaging apps because of the fact that they're the one app that stays on their phone. If you look at it, BBM now is coming up 11 years old.
Mm.
I think WhatsApp is about 7 years old. WeChat and Line are about 6 years old. They're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're still here. You know, Pokemon Go, that comes and goes. Clash of Clans, et cetera, et cetera. And using the example of some of the services now that had created their own apps, and even the banks here. Look in South Africa. Virtually every bank here now has launched a bot.
Yes.
The reason they've launched a bot is it's too hard for them to keep on getting people back to their applications. It's too costly. So they've introduced bots to integrate into messaging apps and social networks because they know that's where the people are.
Mm.
And I think that's the exciting thing, because I think over the next 12 months, we're going to see a revolution, a big change in the way that the app markets work. and messaging apps are leading that evolution.
Do we see consolidation in this market at some point? I mean, certain apps have come to dominate certain markets. Consumers are running multiple. I just checked on my phone. I'm running 5 messaging apps on my phone.
Yep.
I don't really want to be running 5 messaging apps on my phone. Does there need to be some sort of consolidation in the space? Can there be consolidation in the space? And if so, what's going to drive it?
It's an interesting question, Duncan. It's an interesting question. But when you say people don't want to have 5 messaging apps on your phone, I think you'd be surprised. Okay, because there's some services, you know, people use Snapchat for certain functionality, but then go back to a messaging app for others. Okay, people can create obviously more pictures and more of a timeline on certain apps. Obviously, on some of those apps that we've just talked about, WhatsApp as an example, which obviously works very well for chat, you know, you can't go and buy commerce, you can't go and transfer money, you can't go and watch news. You talked about commerce before. You know, when we first launched, obviously, really the cross-platform and very much on our channels and now Discover, you know, our business has been built around now mobile advertising. And most of the big e-commerce players in the world advertise on our platform now. So, you know, you're starting to get that conversational commerce going as well. You're starting to get those transactions. And actually recently in Indonesia, we announced a joint venture basically with Alipay there to launch a wallet that was connected to obviously BBM. And that's really closing out the ecosystem. And you'll see us do the same here in South Africa, okay, and other markets. So, you know, I do think people will always have multiple messaging apps. Mm-hmm. Interoperability is hard.
I was going to ask about interoperability, because none of these apps interoperate.
Yeah. We saw it in the messaging world,
right,
when we linked carriers together domestically and then internationally for things like SMS and MMS, and it exploded.
Yeah.
I do think that there will be some of that at some stage. You probably could link pure messaging at the level of IP today. But the rest of the services probably doesn't make sense. But you may find over the coming years that certain players may align in certain markets that we don't compete in. That would make a lot of sense, especially in corridors where there's a lot of movement of people.
Have there been any discussions in that regard?
Not as yet.
Okay.
Not as yet.
Okay.
I think we're all too busy looking after our own businesses today.
It's all in the sort of growth phase at the moment, and I suppose those discussions come later.
It's exploding. I mean, social messaging is now bigger than social networks. Okay.
Wow.
And that happened now a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was very shortly after that Zuckerberg ended up buying WhatsApp for $19 billion. So, you know, they saw it very quickly. I think everyone else has realized it now. And when you start to talk about one-to-one sharing and conversational commerce and these type of obviously very important elements going forward when you talk about commerce and mobility, it will be very much driven around social messaging.
Okay. What is BBM's revenue model? How do you guys make money?
So predominantly off mobile advertising today. So we generate today over 2.8 billion ad requests today globally. And we sell that directly. So we have a direct sales team. We have a team here in South Africa that works with the agencies and the media buyers and the brands directly. We serve native ad units, standard ad units, and obviously video as well. And we also work with a number of the ad networks and ad exchanges as well. So really it's the mobile advertising business that is driving our revenue stream, but there's also a transaction element. Obviously, as we launch more and more of these Discover services, we are really operating in a way as a mall. Okay, if your content is actually, we've got the users, if our content is in the store in Discover, obviously we are sharing revenue with those partners, whether it's on an advertising basis, whether it's on a percentage of a transaction, whether it's a flat monthly fee, etc. And obviously as we introduce more and more payments, it opens up other avenues as well.
If I'm a company, say a retailer in South Africa that wants to use BBM to get a message across to end users, is advertising the only way of doing that at the moment, or are there other services? Can they actually take your API, for example, and build something on top of it?
So there's various ways that they can actually integrate with us today. Obviously, yes, the first one is they can just take out standard advertising, and there's a bundle of solutions there that the way that we communicate and we've got a very good list of accounts here in South Africa that are taking advantage of that. Secondly, though, they can create a channel. And very similar to obviously what previously, I suppose, a Facebook channel. So a brand can come in into their creator channel and post every day. Mm. They can actually invite people to join the channel. And they can also, for example, do certain transactions. There's a whole number of elements that they can engage, including one-to-one chat. And we've just opened up our API for one-to-one chat there. Basically where you've got now companies looking to integrate their bots into it as well.
Okay.
So there's various things that we continue to launch on that front. And then obviously there's Discover. If it is a major vertical, like a news, like a sport, like a travel, music, games, these type of things, we are putting them actually into Discover. And obviously that's within a look and feel of BBM because it has to be seamless mm-hmm. to the user and it's not switching out of the app.
Okay.
And once again, there's a whole lot of APIs that these partners are leveraging so they can use the contacts, they can upload status, they can authorize once, authorization when obviously someone's logged into BBM, etc.
Okay. I meant to ask earlier, by the way, you say 90% of your active users now are on Android. What percentage are still using BlackBerries?
Look, I can't give you the exact figure on that just because I don't represent BlackBerry okay. today. But obviously, if 90% of them are Android, between 10% left are between iOS, Windows, BlackBerry. And BlackBerry.
Oh, you run on Windows as well?
We do run on Windows as well. Obviously, unfortunately, the Windows device hasn't been as successful as I think all of us would have liked. Mm. So there's less and less of those around.
So do you continue to support that?
Not in our latest releases, no. Like most app or service providers today, app providers in general, unfortunately we don't upgrade. We're still supporting obviously our last release on Windows, but we're not upgrading it at this stage.
Okay. And the other number I meant to ask you about was your monthly active users. Do you disclose that?
Look, we've got over 2.1 monthly active users.
Million. Okay.
Here in South Africa. 75% of those are daily active users.
Okay.
And the average person spends over 30 minutes a day on BBM. So we've got a very attractive user base there that is there every day, which is obviously the opportunity there for brands, okay, and businesses.
Yeah.
And as we extend that through obviously launching more and more services, it's mean we're taking the average person from 31 to 35 to 40 to 50, etc., and more engaging. Obviously, we've got a lot more registered customers here in South Africa. And part of obviously the promotion that we're doing now around these services is to make sure people know that actually BBM is still here in South Africa. It is very strong. Come back and discover the new BBM.
Are you actually able to communicate with some of those legacy BlackBerry device users?
We are able to wake certain ones up,
okay.
Depending on the handsets, so we can deliver messages. Mm-hmm. So look, we have to be cautious about that as well. We don't obviously want to spam people. Mm. And we've been putting in a lot of controls into our application especially over the last 6 months to counter things like spam, because as you know, it's become a major issue in the industry in general. But we are looking at a lot of awareness programs, including working closely with the operators here in South Africa to look at how we can actually start to bundle things up again and be aggressive in the marketplace.
Okay. Now, you're strong in emerging markets. Indonesia is your biggest market. Was Nigeria your second biggest?
Nigeria is very big. Obviously, parts of the Middle East are just as big as well.
Okay.
So in Nigeria, we have 4.2 million monthly active users.
Okay.
And it's an extremely interesting market, I think, and growing very quickly. But the Middle East is very strong for us as well, especially places like Saudi Arabia and UAE, Oman, etc.
Is it your intention to be an emerging markets player, or do you have aspirations to be a big player in developed markets as well?
Look, we are very focused on sort of our top eight markets, call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to go into a new market and start again.
Yeah.
And it's all about focus. You know, we've taken BBM now. When we When we were licensed off from BlackBerry now over a year ago, we left BlackBerry with 76 people. We've now got nearly 200 people.
Okay.
And we're growing very quickly. But you've only got limited resources at the end of the day, so you need to focus your energy. So we've sort of got our top markets. You know, the great thing is, obviously, being back here in South Africa and Nigeria are two of our key markets. And we are very keen to make them successful long term. Mm. Obviously, we've spoken about some of those other markets as well, and that sort of makes up the top eight.
Okay. Just lastly, Matthew, security and encryption has been a big talking point over the last few years. Some apps have now implemented end-to-end encryption. Is BBM one of those?
Look, BBM's always had encryption.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing has changed from the BlackBerry days.
Okay.
So let me be clear on that.
Yeah.
So we've continually looked at how we can improve, obviously, what we're doing on the product side. I mentioned before the spam issue.
Yes.
Spam and phishing has become a major issue around the world, not only on mobile, but obviously on desktop as well, as we know. And it's always the cat chasing the mice. You know, we're continually, obviously, putting in preventions to help protect the consumer. And that's a major focus. I think we continue to look at services that we can obviously launch to help consumers as well. You know, we launched things like privacy and control features for BBM. You know, the ability to mask your conversation, the ability to retract and delete your conversation and so forth. We're very conscious, and we know that consumers have always seen historically, initially BlackBerry, mm-hmm. and now BBM obviously is the most secure system out there. So we're always looking at ways to improve it. But it's tough, as you know, in the industry, because everyone is out to obviously hack you.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it's an ongoing threat.
Plus, you've got the pressure from governments now that are saying, I mean, certainly the British government is saying some very loud things about encryption and wanting access to these sort of services so that they can fight terrorism. Is that becoming an increasing issue for you guys?
Oh, look, absolutely. It's always been there, and... you know, we obviously have to do the best thing long term to protect the consumer, and obviously on both ends, to ensure obviously there's a safe world out there as well.
What's your policy in that regard?
Look, I can't really discuss our policy. It obviously depends on the situation, and a lot of that is still up to BlackBerry, actually.
Okay.
Just because of the license that we have with them.
Oh, right. That's interesting. Okay. All right. Matthew Talbot is CEO of BBM. Matthew, you're based in Singapore, right? You've got a broad Aussie accent.
Correct. I am based in Singapore. I've been there for 4 years.
Okay.
So, yes, Australian though at heart. But
okay.
I've been to South Africa. I've been travelling back and forth to South Africa now for probably about 17 years.
Right.
The first company I ran was actually creating SMS games for Vodacom and MTN and so forth. So I have a long history here of working in South Africa.
Well, you know this market well then. Well, Matthew, thanks for talking to Tech Central on your visit down here this time around, and all the best.
Thanks, Duncan. Great to be here.